We're going to be looking at the subject of gossip. Now, some might say, Pastor John, why are you preaching on gossip? Do you know something that we don't know? Is there gossip going around in the church? Frankly, no. And this is the best time to preach it, when you're not having a problem with it. Isn't that right? As a matter of fact, it's better to be proactive than reactive, isn't it? That's true in a home, in a communication relationship between a husband and a wife. It's good to be able to go to the wilds or to any family camp and get instruction, and even those that aren't married, to get some good instruction to get you going in the right direction so that when God does bring the right partner your way, you'll be able to effectively have a successful marriage. On the subject of gossip, several pastors were convening at a ministerial conference. As they met during lunch, they began confiding in one another regarding their secret faults. One pastor confided with the others that every once in a while, he would sip a glass of sherry as a nightcap before going to bed. Another pastor said, "Well, my problem is my temper. When I get angry, I throw things. And one time, I pushed my wife through a screen door." Encouraged also to share in this forum, another pastor said, "Well, I have problems with my thought life and the other women in my congregation." To top it all, one pastor said, "Well, I appreciate your candid honesty. I must share with you my innermost problem. I have a problem with gossip." Well, you know, it's interesting that oftentimes that can be a problem we need to be very careful of. Somebody said, "What's so bad about a little bit of gossip?" I like to put it this way. The difference between gossip and a concerned friend is like the difference between a butcher and a surgeon. Both cut meat, but for different reasons. Isn't that true? Well, we're going to be looking, first of all, at seven reasons why people gossip. Turn in your Bibles, and we're going to have a topical study as we look at this, which therefore is going to necessitate our being flexible in going here and there in the Scriptures, and we'll be surprised how many of our verses come from the wisdom book of the Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19 for the first reason why people gossip. Proverbs 10, verse 19 reads as follows. "In the multitude of words there wanteth or lacketh not sin." You know, the first reason why people gossip is that some people just talk too much. And the more we have a tendency to talk, the number of words that proceed out of our mouth, the chances are that we might be in a position to say the wrong things. So, that's the first reason. Proverbs 10:19, "In the multitude of words there lacketh not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." A second reason why people gossip is found in Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Notice, oftentimes, I know pastors have been chagrined to wonder, when in the world are rumors going to stop? Why is it that things just never seem to die in my church? I've been to pastor seminars, and oftentimes you'll hear comments like that. "It just won't die, Pastor. It just keeps on going on and on and gaining more gargantuan performance and perspective. And what is going on?" Well, look at verse 20. "Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. You know, sometimes there are just individuals that don't stop talking about something. Now, if you're continuing throwing wood into a fire, well, obviously that fire is going to continue to burn. And a desire to stir up strife, you see, is a second reason why people gossip. It says here, again, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Thirdly, look at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. A desire for acceptance. A desire for acceptance. Here in Proverbs 29:25, God's word says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe." A desire for acceptance. People get together and they start gossiping, and you want to belong. You want to be accepted. So therefore, you have to come up with a "can you top this one" so that you can be part of the crowd. So there's that desire to have something new to say, a juicy morsel that no one has ever heard before. And that desire for acceptance oftentimes is another reason why individuals will gossip. Now, in the book of Psalm 101 and verse 5, turn to Psalm 101. This psalm is a great psalm for the new year. It has such commitments to it. If you're preaching a New Year's sermon, or you ever have to give a New Year's devotion in a home, perhaps you're getting together with friends and family in your home, and you're preaching on a devotion for the new year, your title on the top of this one, a psalm for the new year, as we're looking forward to baby 206 coming along here, 2006. Here, notice, is another reason why people can gossip. But notice verse 5. "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud look will I not suffer." You know, we can have an appetite for the world. We can follow the crowd, the philosophy of the world, following in the ways of the world. Oh, we have to need to be careful in that area. Then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, there's an interesting verse that is given to us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The fifth reason why people can oftentimes fall into gossip is idle time. Just having too much time on our hands. How we need to be careful. Some of you mentioned in your testimony time that the Wild spoke about time management. How critical it is that we use our time for productive purposes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "And there were some in the Thessalonican church that were facing this problem. It says, we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly." In other words, out of rank. It's a military term. "Working not at all, but are busybodies." How we have to be careful, even in our senior years, In the years in which we may retire, that we use our time productively for the kingdom of God and using our time effectively. A sixth reason why individuals can gossip is what we call character projection. And we begin to project our feelings into what other people we think are thinking. And we have a tendency to do what psychologists call project. We see our problems, our struggles, and we project them on to others. Then finally, the seventh reason, jealousy. You know, when I think of jealousy in the Scriptures, I think of Joseph's brothers, but I also think of Daniel. You remember in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, there were three presidents under Darius's headship, and Daniel was one of them, and the Bible tells us that Daniel was preferred over the other two presidents. And in Daniel chapter 6, you'll notice verse 4, the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning his kingdom. And they scrutinized everything he did. They were jealous. Finally, they saw his prayer life and his prayer habits. So they came up with a suggestion to the king that whosoever asks a position or a petition among any other god for 30 days shall be cast into the den of lions. And of course, Daniel knew about the decree, but he would obey God rather than man. So he prayed towards Jerusalem, not secretly, but out in the open. And then verse 12 says, his accusers came near and spoke before the king, and they said, King, what about your decree? Let's enforce it. And of course, there was jealousy in their hearts. Oftentimes, we can gossip about someone else because we see shortcomings or lackings in our life, and we want to pull down others so that we ourselves will look better. Now, how is it that Christians can often gossip? Well, oftentimes, secrets under the guise of confidentiality can be used. I want to share something with you confidentially. Oftentimes in the form of a prayer request. I have a prayer request I want to share with you about so-and-so. Well, prayer may be the furthest thing from their minds, but it's an acceptable way of conveying that juicy little morsel of information. Then, venting. We can have a way of just venting. We're so angry with someone that we just feel that we're going to vent to others. And the book of Proverbs, chapter 27 or 26, and verse 27 gives us some information regarding that that we need to be cautious of. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 27 reads, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. He that rolls a stone, it will return upon him. So the gossip, you see, and the tendency to gossip is so very strong in that area. I have a little piece of equipment here that we all need to be careful of because it is so accessible, isn't it? And how we use our idle time inappropriately. This can be a tremendous blessing. This has saved people in car wrecks, individuals that were contained in crevices on 9/11, in 01, when we had the tremendous New York City disaster at the World Trade Center. Individuals were actually located and lives were saved by the use of a cell phone and the global positioning system and calls that were made. But yet at the same time, can't they be abused through gossip and things such as that? Now, let's take a look at four dangers of gossip. In Proverbs chapter 18, let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 18. Gossip can cause, first of all, contention. Proverbs 18, notice verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. I know there were a few times when my mom had to wash my mouth out with soap because there were some things that I said that I shouldn't have said. By the way, I've had to do that with some of my kids, none of them present. But I've had my mouth washed out with soap. It's no fun. You know that soap, you can't get rid of the taste. You ever notice that? And then whatever else you try to eat to get the taste away, it just won't go away. There have been some times where when I said something that I shouldn't have, I got the old in the mouth. And boy, that caused me. I got a little padding now, you understand, my mustache. But back then, it hurt a lot more. And it talks about the stroke here for words that we might say that we ought not to. Look at verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. We need to be very careful. It can cause contention. Also, the danger of gossip is that it hurts people. Look at verse 8 of Proverbs 18. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You know, words that we speak against someone else can truly hurt an individual and cause a great deal of damage. In chapter 20 and verse 19, gossip can destroy trust. Proverbs 20 and verse 19, it says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. You know, we need to be men and women that individuals can come to and confide in and know that it's not going to be all over the church or all over wherever, the school or the campus, the next day. We need to be individuals that are able to be men and women who receive information and are able to keep confidence. Ministries have been destroyed by pastors that violated confidences. Now, if someone comes up to me and says, Pastor John, I have something I want to share with you, but I want you to promise me that you'll never, ever, ever tell anyone else, I'll immediately tell them, first of all, I want you to know that I will not be an accessory to a crime, a felony, a misdemeanor, or any violation of the law. Before you tell me, you better be very, very careful. Because he could say, Pastor John, I want you to promise me. You won't tell anybody. Okay, I promise, I promise. I just killed my wife and she's under the stairwell. And Pastor John just committed himself towards promising not to tell anyone about that. So it's a good thing. But we do need to be able to keep confidences. Be careful that you're that type of person, that you do not violate trust. Proverbs 20, verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Oftentimes, you'll have individuals that will say, oh, I promise, 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 promise. Then all of a sudden, it's on WTLN. Be careful about that. Number 4, gossip can ruin testimonies. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 11. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. Have you ever heard someone say, I gave that turkey a piece of my mind? You ever hear that? Well, I'll tell you what. Don't give anyone a piece of your mind because you will have that much less to work with. And I don't know about you, but I need all of the mind that I can come up with. Look at verse 11. A fool utters all his mind. Have you ever been tempted to just lay it all out and tell your spouse or your friend the first thing that pops out of your mouth, I'm going to say. But you know what? A wise man keeps it until afterward. You hear, you listen, you ask the Lord to put a watch upon your lips. Listen to the whole story before you answer a matter. The Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he hears it, it's folly unto him. Don't utter all your mind. Don't give anyone a piece of your mind. You need all you can get. Then finally, danger brings judgment. Proverbs 18 and verse 7, notice, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Now, how can we stop gossip? How to stop gossip? Well, first of all, number one, examine your salvation. Are you a child of God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? 2 Peter says that the Lord has given unto us in Christ Jesus all things that pertain to life and godliness. So therefore, we must be in Christ Jesus. But also, number two, we need to ask God for forgiveness when we have gossiped. We need to, first of all, seek that vertical forgiveness. Thirdly, we should make a list of all of the people that we have gossiped to and ask for their forgiveness as well. There's that horizontal relationship as well. Then, number four, study and memorize Scripture when you are tempted to gossip. A good scripture would be Psalm chapter 119. Turn to that scripture, verses 9 through 11. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Number five, think before you speak. Think before you speak. Meditate upon what you're about to say. The golden rule is so effective here. In a church fellowship, there was once a group of people that were kind of hanging together, and it was just kind of over with, and they had been talking about one of the deacons in the church, and they were just talking about he and his wife and their idiosyncrasies and all of these things. And then finally, when one of the men had to leave that particular roasting session, as he began to leave, he turned around to the two and three that were left that were involved in that gossip session, and he said, "By the way, I'm getting ready to leave. Don't you all talk about me now." And he left. It's interesting. Don't you think it would have been wiser for that group to kind of think ahead and say, you know, the golden rule says that we ought to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So therefore, avoiding that gossip. Think before you speak. Number six, avoid idle time. Avoid idle time. Be careful how you use your idle time. It's better to gossip the gospel than to gossip against your brother or your neighbor. Number seven, be careful to choose the right friends. If your friends are those that are constantly pulling you down into a vortex of gossip, maybe you just need to choose friends that use their words positively. You know, the Bible reminds us in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 8, some good principles to remind ourselves. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Now, the final subject I'd like to deal with within the realm of the subject of gossip in the few minutes that we have left. What do we do if we are gossiped about? What should be our response? Well, frankly, our response ought to be our Savior's response. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, notice with me what God's Word has to say. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 2:22 now. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Then it goes on to say, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed, he deposited himself to him that judges righteously. What do you do when you're gossiped about? Remember, you're in good company. Jesus was maligned as well. Jesus was gossiped and lied about as well. But secondly, the second thing we should do when we are gossiped about is give the offender the benefit of the doubt. Be slow to anger. Don't let your response be that of anger. Perhaps there's been wrong information communicated. Pray for that offender. Doesn't Matthew chapter 5, the words of our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:44, it says, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for the offender. If you are offended at that person, you then are to go in a spirit of meekness to them. The Bible reminds us in Matthew 18 and verse 15 that if you have been offended, you are to go to that particular brother. Not to someone else, really not even to your pastor. Go to the person that has offended you. The Word of God says, whatsoever, in verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. We're not to polarize and gather all of our friends together that agree with us and then see if we can get a scrap on the other side and get a contest as to how many we can get with us. But just rather go to that brother. Well, can I go to my pastor? Really, you shouldn't go. If you go to me, what I'll tell you is, have you gone to that person? Because you really need to go to them before, just like corpuscles, white corpuscles in the body. Whenever there's an infection that comes in, white corpuscles will go through the bloodstream and go to that infected site. And the very first corpuscle needs to be you, where you go to that person. And if there's not a response, then there are greater numbers of corpuscles that go to that infected site, and that is given to us in Matthew 18 all the way through verse 17. But the point is, go to them individually. And by the way, go in the spirit of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Don't go with hostility. Don't go with anger. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, and that's the word transgression, sin, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we go in a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves. What does that mean? How would I like to be approached if I was in that spot? Well, that's the attitude that I will go in. Why? Because but by the grace of God, there go I. So go in the spirit of Galatians 6:1. Speak the truth in love, it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Then, Romans 12:21, Notice it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Properly responded to, evil can be overcome with good. When confession is secured and forgiveness is given, don't bring it up again. Don't bring it up again. Now, Pastor John, are there ever times when things may never, ever be reconciled in spite of attempts to reach people? Especially when individuals have no concern for church authority, have no concern for anyone that may approach them. Well, yes, that's true. That's where Romans 12:18 comes. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. There are times when reconciliation this side of heaven may not be possible. But have we done everything that biblically we can do is the issue. I'd like to conclude with the admonition of the psalmist in Psalm 19 and verse 14. The scripture says, and this is a prayer for all of us, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Let's also remember the tremendous impact that we can have upon our children when we use our lips indiscriminately. Little ears are always listening. When that elder or that deacon or that pastor is being roasted or that person in the pew is being roasted, little ears are listening. And oftentimes there'll be a wrong attitude towards authority that's developed in the ears and in the eyes of children. And children will be then emboldened to criticize their own authority figures in their lives. Teachers at school, other authorities in school, at church, even your authority will not be exempt from attack when they see that. May God challenge us to be men where blessings, and ladies, where blessings come out of our mouth. You know, our Lord, His speech, His life was full of grace and truth. You know, lips ought to convey blessings. Didn't James say, out of the same fountain cannot come sweet and bitter waters? Our lips need to speak love and truth. And yes, when confrontation is needed, to be done in love and in response to God's word, but never maliciously to malign or for ulterior purposes for the exaltation of self and the elevation of self and the disintegration of others. Oh, how we need to be careful how we speak at home to our wives, to our children even. Words of violence and hatred and animosity can never, ever be taken back. Most of you are familiar with the fact that Brother Del Stewart is my technician for the Strength for Today Bible broadcast. And sometimes I'll have some verbal foibles that have to be removed for one reason or another. And there are some even in this message, I'm sure, that he'll be industriously working on. You know, those words can be erased. And for the person on the other end of the radio broadcast or the internet, he never knows that they ever happened. But you know, it's not that way with our speech and our conversation with brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't it? Even when there is forgiveness on the part of another, there's always the historical occurrence. And they will never forget. And it can never truly be the same, can it? We can't erase those words spoken in anger to our wives or to our husbands, those words of destruction that we may have yelled to our children in anger because we were inconvenienced in one way or another. And you know, the sad part about it is that those words live long after even those that uttered them are alive. I can think in my life of occurrences, even as a child, when words were spoken by authority figures in my life that were destructive and brought hurt, and I've given them over to God. But isn't it interesting that I never forgot them anyway? But let our words be encouraging. Let us encourage and bless one another. Let's be individuals that are remembered. Oh, you know, I always feel better about myself when I spend time with that person. You know, I feel blessed, strangely warmed when I'm with that person, because not only do they help me see Jesus more effectively, but they just give me the encouragement to go on and not quit. You know, we got to work to be that type of person. And you know, when we do that to our children, you'll not see much apostasy. When we give our children the blessing, we treat them with honor and love, and they have our words of blessing, we'll see that they will want to go on for the things of God. Because pleasing parents means so much to their lives. And it all begins with our words. So let's remember, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let's bow our heads together. Our lips have great power. Our tongue has great power to speak blessing or destruction. I'm wondering if you'll not dedicate your members right here today as an instrument of conveying blessing. Oh, does that mean that I should never confront wrongdoing? No. Jesus did. But He did so in love and in truth. And we need to convey that underlying motive of being a blessing and seeking the good of others. And I'm glad my Savior has demonstrated that in the Word. So ask this week for the Spirit to set a watch upon your lips. Upon my lips, I pray that God will make me a bestower of heavenly blessings in a world that so desperately needs encouragement and light and strength to go on. Father, bless us now. Guide us. Help us to truly love one another. I thank You for the love that is at Central Florida Bible Church, and that we can deal with an issue like this, and Lord, we can openly consider it, Lord, and I thank You for the sweet love that is here that prevails. How so many times I've been on the blessing side of words of encouragement, words of affirmation from Your dear people here, what they have meant to me. And I've seen the exchange of words of encouragement, one to the other, being a cool glass of water to him that is weary. Lord, may that never, ever be lost in our church. May we ever seek to improve. I pray for our homes. I pray that as we go home tonight, that, Lord, You would impress upon our homes, our marriages, our relationship with our children, to be bestowers of blessing and encouragement to one another. And we'll be careful to give You the praise for what You will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.